ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
The reason was, again, they weren't walking with the Lord. But here's a kind of a positive sign. They're going to deal with this problem of sin that was in their midst and cause death and destruction to this man's concubine. That's encouraging to me. It shows that they want to right a wrong. And, you know, it's kind of a good thing that this crime shocked Israel. Could you imagine if it didn't? What if they just ignored it? We've grown accustomed to sin in this nation, and I don't think it shocks us anymore. There's a word that we use, accustomed. And this word means to think, start to think that something is normal or natural because you have experienced it regularly over a period of time. He had become accustomed to living without electricity and missed it very little. Think about this for a minute. What if you took someone from the 1800s and you put them, I hate to say it, but in 2020, and they obviously didn't know what a TV was, but they turn on a television. And they hear the way people talk. They hear the way people are acting. You think they would be shocked by what they see? I guarantee you they would. There was a movie that we showed at the church a few years back. I think it was called Time Traveler. But it was with the guy from Love Boat, the captain of the Love Boat. Gavin McLeod, I think is his name. And he wants to go ahead into the future and see what it's like. And he was shocked by it. The immorality that was taking place. But the people of the day saw it as normal. They didn't see anything wrong with it because they had grown accustomed to it. I don't know about you, but I look at my own life. And some of the words that I hear today would have shocked me years ago. And now I'm just used to it. That's not right. That means my heart's been a little calloused. I'm not sensitive to those things like I was. For me, I'm 62 years old. If I went back to the time when I was a teenager, wow, what has changed? We've always had issues because man is evil. But now this has become the norm. We see sexual immorality growing and growing, and there's no stopping to it. You know, years ago, when I would share about homosexuality and say, you know, they're just going to get people used to it, and it's going to become normal. No, we'll never allow that. The church is going to stand strong against that. What happened? Now you know what I'm saying today? Pedophiles, that's going to be seen as normal. Well, go look at what California did, what the governor of California did. That you can have sex, I think it's with a child 10 years younger than you, up to I think the age 14 or 15. So if you're 25, you could have sex with a child who's 14 or 15 years old. What happened? Do you realize teenagers in this country can't have sex because they could be charged with abuse, right? Why is this normal? Because we are going to allow pedophiles to become a normal part of our society. What about bestiality? It's kind of funny, you know. We think we're so educated today. We're not. We do the same things as they did back then. Oh, we may, you know, change the names and do, you know, we have computers now that we can watch a potpourri of pornographic stuff. Turn on the television. Look at the propaganda they're trying to put forth. I mean, try and watch a television show that has nothing to do with homosexuality, and you will see a gay couple on there. Why? It has nothing to do with the storyline. Because we want to get you accustomed to this lifestyle. Look at what children are being taught in schools. The same idea. You have to accept whatever anybody wants to be. We have kids making decisions about what gender they are. They can't even figure out what clothes to wear in the morning. And what has happened? The Bible says we are to train up our children. That means if they're doing something wrong, we have to correct them and tell them why it is wrong so they'll do the right thing. But now we're letting them make the decisions. The decision's already been made. Boys are boys and girls are girls. End of story. And our foundations, the foundations of our society, are rotting and decaying in so many different ways. It's kind of falling apart if you think about it. I remember, I was working in the ICU when AIDS was a huge thing. And you know what the big problem with AIDS, why it was spreading so much? Is because the multiple sex partners that they were having. Some of them would have 90, 100 or more in a year. So AIDS was being spread very, very quickly. And when a nation turns from God, we give ourselves over to do whatever is in our heart. And it's wicked. And we see that here with Israel. They weren't walking close with the Lord. But at least they still had this consciousness. And they're trying to decide, what are they going to do with this evil that has taken place? Today, something like this would happen. It would be on the tabloid news, whatever. It wouldn't be a big deal. But it is a big deal. We should be outraged. In Deuteronomy 13, the Lord told Moses what needed to be done if someone in the community or a community itself were leading people away from the Lord. You don't ignore it. You have to deal with it. And they were not only to destroy them, but the entire city. If the city was involved, you weren't to take any plunder. Why? Well, so you wouldn't just go in and destroy a city and take the plunder. It was kind of a good thing. But before you destroyed the city, or anyone, you would have to investigate the situation and make sure the accusations were true. That seems really harsh, but why was God so serious about this? About this idolatry in Israel, moving people away from the Lord? Because the survival of the nation was dependent upon them being a separate people, separate unto the Lord and apart from these false gods. And they did not follow the Lord. They did not obey what the Lord said. And both the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah were taken into captivity because of their idolatry, because they had turned from the Lord. Now, was what happened here in Gibeah and the tribe of Benjamin, was it idolatry? Well, think about it. This sexual immorality, this abuse of women, and they also wanted to abuse this Levite, but he didn't go out there, was a symptom of the disease they had, sin. They turned from God, and if you turn from God, they made a God for themselves, and it probably is themselves. They are God. They're in control of their destiny. They'll do whatever they want, whenever they want it. So the children of Israel agree that the inhabitants of Gibeah, who perpetrated this evil upon this woman, would have to be dealt with. They had to be held accountable for their actions. And specifically the men who did this. Not the entire tribe of Benjamin, but the men who did this. And I think it's a reasonable thing to do. And it really brings us to our next point, the appeal to the tribe of Benjamin. Look at verse 12 here in Judges chapter 20. We're told this. Then the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, "What is this wickedness that has occurred among you? Now therefore deliver up the men, the perverted men who are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and remove the evil from Israel." But the children of Benjamin would not listen to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. Instead, the children of Benjamin gathered together from their cities to Gibeah to go to battle against the children of Israel. And from their cities at that time, the children of Benjamin numbered 26,000 men who drew the sword, besides the inhabitants of Gibeah, who numbered 700 select men. Among all these people, there were 700 select men who were left-handed. Everyone could sling a stone at a hair's breadth and not miss. Now, besides Benjamin, the men of Israel numbered 400,000 men who drew the sword, All these were men of war. So the tribes of Israel are doing the right thing. They ask the tribe of Benjamin, you know, look what has happened here. What's taken place? We just want justice here. And tragically, the hearts and minds of the people of Benjamin weren't good. I mean, it wasn't an outrageous thing that Israel was asking. All they wanted was these men of Benjamin who had committed this crime so they could be put, so justice could go forth. And it just makes sense. It's reasonable. But the leaders in Benjamin, think about it. They knew what was going on. They knew what was happening in their city. You know, you think all the violence that went on in Portland and in Chicago and in New York City and in Madison. You think they didn't know this was going on? Of course they knew what's going on. They didn't stop it. That was the problem, and that's the problem here. The tribe of Benjamin didn't stop the sin that was happening before them. They allowed it to continue on. It's harder to believe that you can get to such a point where you would accept something as violent as this as being okay. But they had turned so far from the Lord that that's exactly what's happening. You know, think about today. Don't we see that happening? I mean, I'll give you an example. A police officer has to use deadly force against a criminal. And what happens? Communities, groups of people upset. They start burning down buildings, vandalizing buildings, beating people up, attacking police officers, killing police officers. Why? Because we want peace and social justice. Well, that's ridiculous. And these cities, these communities, let them go. They are so messed up that they make excuses for what they're doing, believing it's right. The evil they're doing is right. I have a family member that said, well, you know, you just don't understand what they're going through. Oh, they do. It's called sin, and they need to stop. Guess what? If I get pulled over by a police officer for speeding, and I attack him, I'm in more serious trouble than just speeding. These people are burning down buildings, attacking police officers, and it's okay? We let them get away with it? We're told the police officers to stand down? Something's wrong. And that's what happens when you turn from God. You do what's right in your own eyes. And as Christians, we look at them, we just scratch our, I don't get it. How can they do that? But what happens is we can get accustomed to it as well. And we need to be careful. Isaiah said in Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. There it is. And that's what Benjamin was doing. I think the philosophy they have been taught is they're living out. You know, maybe these men of Benjamin, these leaders, thought, you know, hey, I'm not involved in that kind of activity. I'm not doing it. But everyone has a right to do what they want. No, that's not true. We do not have the right to do whatever we want, do we? No. I cannot go into a movie theater. Well, you can't even go into a movie theater now, but you know what I mean. And yell, fire, can I? No, I would get in serious trouble. There are things I can't do. And yet, this is the way many feel today. Hey, I'm not doing it, but if they want to do it, that's fine for them. And you have all kinds of groups standing up and fighting for their rights, for the evil, and coming against good. And if you ever want to study what happens to a nation that continues down this path, go study Rome. Because Rome was never really destroyed from an outside enemy. It rotted from within. And I see that happening in our nation today. Go study. I think it was Gibbons who wrote a book on that. And I think he listed five main points about why Rome fell apart. And you start looking at those points, you go, that's America, that's America. Every single one has America written all over it. Wow. Now, here's the thing that we have to be careful with, though. It's easy for us, just like with the religious leaders in Jesus' day, to point our fingers at, you know, the evil, the unsaved, And yet, are we doing the same thing? We have to be really careful. And we have to understand, we don't sit on some ivory tower, for by grace we stand. I'll give you an example here. And some of these teachers, they have millions of Christians who are following their teaching. And you start coming against these guys, these people, and they will fight you tooth and nail. They will come after you and put you down, say you're unloving, you're hateful, you don't know the scriptures, God loves people, and all kinds of things. And this is just from May of 2020. And we're told this: since the homosexual political movement erupted in New York City 51 years ago, its success in gaining support for mainstream America has been stunning. From corporate America to Hollywood, from the nation's colleges and universities to Madison Avenue, the ideology that spawned the movement has been embraced and disseminated virtually everywhere. By and large, during much of that movement's journey of success, the church remained the constant opponent, holding the line against the devastating lie that homosexuality is natural, moral, and healthy. However, while their advancement of the homosexual agenda has not been as successful or widespread as other cultural institutions, the acceptance of a gay theology in many churches has been shocking. It represents a direct assault on the truth of Scripture and the gospel itself. A new poll from Lifeway Research reveals substantial growth in support for the homosexual lifestyle among Protestant pastors, but especially those in mainline churches. In one of the queries, the polling firm asked 1,000 pastors whether or not they agreed with the statement, "I see nothing wrong with two people of the same gender getting married." According to Lifeway, the percentage of all pastors who'd agreed with that statement had increased from 15% in 2010 to 24% in 2019. So think about it. 24 mainline Protestant pastors are teaching their congregations that the gay lifestyle is okay. Think about the millions of Christians that are being taught wrongly. Also, for mainline pastors, the positive response had increased from 32 to 47%, nearly half. And still, it has become clear that those who are adopting a pro-homosexual theology have, in fact, drifted away from a Christian view of Scripture itself. The movement we see among pastors' views of same-sex marriage has less to do with their denominational tradition than their view of the Bible, said Scott McConnell, executive director of Lifeway Research. An evangelical distinctive is the ultimate authority the Bible has over one's beliefs, despite changing cultural perspectives. It is not surprising, then, that the evangelical pastors across different denominations continue to view same-sex marriage as wrong through his lens. Isn't that interesting? Their view of the Bible is put down over their own really personal views. We've negated what the Bible says because I'm right and I don't really care. Wow, that's a dangerous place to be. Numerous followers of Christ were disappointed when popular contemporary Christian singer Lauren Daigle fumbled her response when asked by a radio show host whether or not homosexuality is a sin. Listen to what she said, because this is very, very interesting. "I cannot honestly answer that. In a sense, I have too many people that I love that are homosexual. I don't know. I can't say one way or another, I'm not God," which is absolutely true. She is not God. But God is God, and he's already told us. And here's the problem. "I have too many people that I love that are homosexual." So does that mean we as Christians hate homosexuals if we don't agree with that lifestyle? Absolutely not. You see, that's what they try and do. If you disagree with their sinful ways, then you hate them. No, I don't. No, I don't. And God doesn't. He loves them so much he died for every single sinner on this planet. And he's spoken very clearly on this subject. And yet, we decrease the value of the scriptures to let our own ideas sink in. Bible teacher Beth Moore's apparent flinch on the subject is even more troubling. The popular teacher-speaker has influenced tens of thousands of Christians with otherwise sound instruction, which I'm not sure on that one, but last year, Moore removed references critical of homosexuality from her book that was undergoing a rewrite for an online version. Gone was her paragraph that cited these biblical truths. Homosexuality is a deadly sexual assault of the evil one. Homosexuality is a sin and a promise that God can indeed deliver you from that homosexuality. Once it was made public that the passage had been removed, Moore received significant black blowback, so she explained the deletion this way. This is how she's explaining why it's gone. After taking 3 years to pray and test the fruit, it became clear to me that my words in this section, words that exceeded Scripture, were stopping many from God's words which follow. It wasn't a doctrinal shift. When our words keep people from God's words, we've overspoken. What are you talking about? God's already said that it was wrong. You haven't overspoken. You've just offended a group of people. And now you're changing it so you could stay popular. It's not the way I feel, guys. It's not the way you feel. It's what the Word of God has to say. That's what we're seeing today. We're seeing teachers, leaders, people that have millions of followers speak in a way that degrades the Bible or negates what God has said about a subject so they can impose their own personal views. Brandon Robertson, an LGBTQ activist who claims to be a Christian, told the Washington Post, just 5 years ago, it would have been okay to say homosexuality is a sin and an abomination. Today, you would be hard-pressed to find any major evangelical leader who would say that publicly. I guess I would, because God did. I'm not adding to the Scriptures. I'm not taking away from the Scriptures. I'm just telling you what they say. Lesbian Julie Rogers, who resigned her position in the chaplain's office of the Evangelical Wheaton College, teaching kids, right? Now pushes gay-affirming version of Christianity and says the shift among leaders is helping to change minds. When pastors and leaders begin to come out as LGBTQ-affirming, people are going to move. They just need permission, she told the Post. I think it's a shift. I think the shift is inevitable. It's just a matter of when. So think about it. Leaders, pastors, teachers are now giving permission to live the gay lifestyle. Well, one day you're going to have to stand before God and explain that one. I'm real sorry. Like the men of Benjamin, Christians today are ready to fight to support sin and to put down righteousness. And I guess they would probably never see it that way. They feel what they're doing is right. But when it goes against the Scriptures, I'm sorry, you cannot go against the Scriptures. There are times that I want to. When God says you need to forgive that person, where's the whiteout, right? That's how we feel because we're right and they're wrong and it doesn't matter. No, it does matter because you know what? Here's a little secret that gets me every time. God has forgiven me of every single one of my sins. And I will tell you what, I am so glad he doesn't put it on the PowerPoint and flash all my sins up there. We'd be here forever. But he's forgiven me. And there's no record of them in heaven anymore because he's already paid for them. And now he says, now you go forgive that person. See, that's the kind of love that God has. It's a world that the world can't give. The world can't give that kind of love, not at all. Don't be offended by this, but I really don't care what you think. And I'm sure you really don't care what I think. But we all care about what God thinks. Amen? Right? Amen. That's what we need to listen to. I don't care how famous the teacher is. Can they be wrong? Sure, because they're not infallible. There's only one who's infallible, and that's God. We need to listen to him. What we see happening here in Judges chapter 20 is a preparation for civil war. The people of Benjamin were able to gather 26,000 men plus a special forces group of 700 who were left-handed and able to sling a stone at some distance with precision. And for the rest of the nation, they had 400,000 men ready for battle. And so it doesn't look good for the people of Benjamin, right? They're far outnumbered even with their special forces. Israel was right in believing that the greatest good was not unity. We just got to be friends with the Benjamites. We just got to let it go. No, they're in sin. It needed to be dealt with. The men that perpetrated this, committed this crime, needed to be dealt with. You see, unity apart from justice and truth is not unity that's worth having. And that really brings us to that last point, the attack against Benjamin. And we're going to read through these verses just to get a flow of the story, and then we'll expound on them. We're going to pick up in verse 18 here in Judges chapter 20. And the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God to ask counsel of God. They said, "Which of us shall go up first to battle against the children of Benjamin?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up first."
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.